Today's JMRA podcast is brought to you by the letter C, because Von Miller cropped John Elway out of a White House photo, and TNA barely has enough cash on hand to stage wrestling pay-per-views. So sad. Kids, save your money. Remember that. All right, let's go. Welcome to the latest edition of the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, coming to you from a rainy Glassboro, New Jersey. It's right around 1:30 in the morning. I can hear the rain beating into the window here as we bring you another fine edition of the podcast. And mucho details to go over as it relates to the world of sports entertainment. This is going to be a little bit of a money in the bank preview show. We're going to talk about the NFL as well a little bit later on in the program. Before we do all of that stuff, I did want to take a few moments just to mention the stuff that obviously has dominated the news over the last week, and that's the sad and tragic shooting that took place in Orlando. I don't want to turn this into a discussion about gun violence and radical Islamic extremism and all this other crazy stuff. I'm not that smart to talk about it. I tried talking about it on Twitter on my personal account and had somebody jump down my throat. So that was enough for me. But I do want to say, like, you know, look, these are challenging times, I think, as a young adult. And it's easy to cave to not even peer pressure, but just cave to bad actions, impure thoughts, things like that. It's so easy to do it. But we as a society have to find a way to A, not do that, and B, if you see somebody that is kind of struggling to deal with something or is, you know, thinking of carrying out some sort of horrible act, as was the case here, where the, you know, the wife of the shooter knew he was going to do something bad and just, you know, and unfortunately she let it happen, but, you know, she's a little bit of an accessory here. There's no question about that. You know, Jerry Springer used to use this line at the end of his show, and it more or less said, take care of yourself and each other. And that is never the more truer than right now. I don't know, as a society, if we are capable of loving each other to an extent that we need to make sure stuff like that doesn't happen again. But damn it, I think we can make a hell of a lot bigger of an effort than what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. So I just wanted to say that at the start of the show. And man, thoughts and prayers out to the folks in Orlando and some of the other folks around the country that are dealing with this stuff, because you know, you have some folks who traveled into Orlando, as you know, we know in the Philadelphia area here, that traveled into Orlando, and unfortunately, it was a rough go for them at the nightclub. So just hopefully, you know, one of these days we'll be able to do better as a society, and we have to get to that point. So hopefully, if you can, get out, give some blood, do something to help the cause and help those folks who are struggling along in recovery out there in Orlando. All right, not an easy transition, but let's get to some fun stuff, a little bit more uplifting in terms of spirits, because that's what we're here to do. As we're here to get you going, get you excited about a variety of topics. So let's give you the social media rundown. You can check me out on Twitter at JoeM's Right Arm, on the blog at JoeMontanasRightArm.com. Also, we're on Vine as well, Instagram, JMontanasRightArm, and a whole bunch of other stuff as it pertains to social media, Facebook as well. So a lot of good times out there to be had. Okay, let's start it off. We're going to talk about Money in the Bank, which takes place this Sunday night, Father's Day. Father's Day taking place on June the 19th. So we are going to discuss Money in the Bank. Now, the pre-show, couple matches on the pre-show. First off, the interminable Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin feud. I wanted this to end at Extreme Rules. It's still going on. I guess this is going to end with Baron Corbin getting a clean win, I would think. I would hope that's where this is headed. So if it is, thank goodness. I look for Baron Corbin to grab the win here over Dolph Ziggler. If he doesn't, I'm not really sure why Baron Corbin's up. I mean, if you're not going to put this guy over and put him in a position to be useful, then why is he here? Apollo Crews versus Sheamus. Speaking of which, this has been a weird feud because Apollo Crews, he's missing something. And he has all the physical tools, got the body, got the look. But the charisma just is not there yet. The fire just is not there yet. Because, again, when you have a three-hour show and it is devoted to relative nonsense at times during the course of the show rather than character development, you have situations like this where, you know, Apollo Crews is going against established guy in Sheamus. And we should be rooting for Apollo Crews. I think people will root for Apollo Crews, but they could be rooting for him a lot more. But he just hasn't said a lot about this particular feud. So that's one thing to kind of keep track of heading in to Sunday night. Rusev versus Titus O'Neil for the U.S. title. I think this is going to be... Now, you have one pay-per-view between now and SummerSlam. So I think this is going to be a show that has some schmozzy finishes, and I think to set up perhaps rematches for the next show, and I think this is one of those matches. I think Titus O'Neil will lose this match, but I think it will be through nefarious means by Rusev. I think he's going to do something to cheat and at least put himself in a position to where they say, okay, let's give Titus O'Neil a rematch at Battleground. At least that's what I'm thinking here. Because this John Cena thing, a lot of people linked him to Cena and Rusev and that U.S. title. But according to reports, this John Cena-AJ Styles thing is not a one-match blow-off for their feud. This could span a couple of shows, including SummerSlam. So look for Rusev to grab the win here, and maybe somehow they set something up for Titus O'Neil to get a rematch at some point. Elsewhere on the card, in the women's division, it will be a tag team match. My girl, the women's champion, Charlotte, teaming up with Dana Brooke to take on Natalya and Becky Lynch. Here's my prediction for this one. I think this is going to conclude with Dana Brooke and Charlotte losing this match. Now, here's what logic would tell you. I hate that they do this. They beat the champion on television like it's just a regular day at the beach. I grew up watching wrestling, and the friggin' champion, I don't care who it was, never lost on TV. And if they lost on TV, it was a big deal. Like, they were either losing a title or they were losing some BS match to set up like a house show feud. I get it. It's not the same time. It's not 1989 anymore. It's not 1996, what have you. But to me, why are you going to build up a champ and have him get beat? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Because, like, look, Roman Reigns. You think Roman Reigns is going to lose on television in a singles match? Probably not. Especially not anytime soon. So I just think that's crazy. They had Charlotte lose to Paige on Monday night. With that in mind, okay, this is what I think is going to happen. I think Charlotte and Dana Brooke are going to lose a match. And I think the conclusion of this match will be Charlotte getting frustrated with Dana Brooke, walking out, leaving a two-on-one situation for Becky Lynch and Natalya to work over Dana Brooke, beat her, and then you get the sympathy, and then maybe some type of turn. Apparently, Vince really likes Dana Brooke, thinks she could be a, quote, female Roman Reigns, which is, I mean, that's a kiss of death. Eventually, I think this will set up a Charlotte-Dana Brooke program, but they got a lot of irons in the fire here with Charlotte. So they have this Dana Brooke thing. Charlotte has now lost two matches to Paige and been pinned by Paige on television twice. I don't know if they're even going to acknowledge that. Who knows with them and the way that they do business with the women's stuff, considering the women's stuff is back to getting the short end of the stick on television. Like, look, they just did slightly over 2 million people against Game 5 of the NBA Finals on Monday night. Give the women some time, for heaven's sake. Like, you guys are they're putting out dog meat as a product. I don't want to say they're phoning it in, but that's what it looks like on these shows. Like, why run them out there for 3 minutes and have Charlotte lose some, I don't know. I could talk about this all day. Anyway, that's what I think is going to happen in the Charlotte and Dana Brooke situation. We'll see where it goes from there. This all eventually has to lead to Sasha Banks versus Charlotte at SummerSlam. The time is near, folks, and we're going to have to get to that match sooner rather than later. I mean, unless they're going to shoehorn some Charlotte Paige feud in there, because Paige is going to come out and say, hey, I've been beating the champ. Why don't I get a title match? Logic would tell you that would happen at some point. Also, logic would tell you that if they are going to do some sort of turn between Dana Brooke and Charlotte, that has to happen probably Monday night for them to have some sort of show or have some sort of match at the July pay-per-view Battleground. On to the next match. The WWE Tag Team Titles, New Day versus the Bullet Club. New Day versus NWO Jr. New Day versus the Club, that's who they are, versus Enzo and Big Cass versus the Vaudevillains. It's time to get the titles off the New Day. They don't need them anymore. They're super over without the titles. The question is when they want to do this, because you got a couple options here. You can wait another month and have them beat out that record by Brian Kendrick and Paul London as longest reigning WWE tag team champions. You can have them do that, or you could have them lose here and be in chase mode. I tend to think logic would tell you the Bullet Club would get the win here. But again, going back to what we were talking about earlier with schmozzy finishes, I think this has a chance to be a schmoz fest. You can go one of two ways here. You can have the New Day lose without actually getting pinned. So that's, they get an automatic rematch, basically, with whoever the champion is. And in that case, if the New Day isn't winning this match, I'm just going to call it Bullet Club. No one's going to sue me. The Bullet Club, Gallows and Anderson, I would think they would have to win this match just for appearance purposes. Like, you have to make AJ Styles and that group, the Club, strong somehow. And I think that's one way you can do it. Have Anderson and Gallows beat the most popular team in WWE. Is that going to happen? I'm not sure. I would tend to think they would do that in a 2-on-2 match. But at least if Gallows and Anderson win, it gives the New Day something to do. So I'm going to side with the Club winning this match and giving the New Day a little bit of a jolt here, potentially heading into the dead of summer as we get closer towards Battleground and SummerSlam. Elsewhere on the show, the Money in the Bank match, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Alberto Del Rio, and Dean Ambrose all competing in the Money in the Bank match. This match reminds me of something that's very funny. One of my friends texts me, and normally texts me during Raw every week, and more or less he said he could not stand Sami Zayn, which I thought was just mesmerizing. Like, who has ever said anything badly about Sami Zayn, so it seems? He does not like Sami Zayn. And I got to tell you, I don't like Sami Zayn in this match. Now, the thing that is muddying the waters as far as a potential win in this match for Owens or Cesaro or Del Rio or Ambrose or even Jericho is the fact that the brand split taking place, and if you implement two titles, you don't necessarily need for the Money in the Bank winner to cash in and beat the WWE champion. Because if there are two champions, then if you have a SmackDown champion, then maybe you use the Money in the Bank briefcase on whoever the SmackDown champion is. So I if you call everything even, I like Kevin Owens to win the match. Dean Ambrose is too obvious. They don't need to give him the briefcase to make one day a Shield triple threat. I'm pretty sure they can weave that into a storyline somehow where that comes into play. So I don't think he needs it. Cesaro, I don't see that as an option. Jericho, who knows when Jericho's leaving, but I don't see that an option. So that leaves you with Owens, Del Rio, and Ambrose. And again, going back to Ambrose, if they did it, I get why. But I just think you can get to a triple threat match or some sort of match with the Shield without him winning. And then it comes down to whether, you know, Del Rio or Owens should get the briefcase. Del Rio's not doing anything right now, which I think is a big problem. I would give it to Del Rio. I don't think he's going to win the match, but I would give it to him. I think he could have good matches with Roman Reigns if that's the avenue they decide to go. So, I'm going to go. My head is telling me Owens, but I would not be surprised if Del Rio walks away with it. Ambrose is just too obvious for Monday night. Just too obvious. Don't see that happening. John Cena versus AJ Styles. Another intriguing match here. And whether or not they opt to put AJ Styles over in this match, I think is a hot button issue, I'm sure, with creative as far as how they're going to employ Cena and Styles from here on out. Man, Styles has to win this match, you would think, but I just don't see a scenario where Cena comes back just to lose right away. So I think Cena's going to win this match, but I think the next two, or one match, whatever they decide to do, I think we'll just have to wait and see. So I like Cena in that match against AJ Styles. Styles loses, goes ballistic, eventually attacks him and challenges him to a rematch at the show next month where he gets his long-awaited win. That's what I think is going to happen there. And in the main event, Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. They keep saying, this is weird. They keep saying, this is a WrestleMania level type match, which begs the question, why the hell aren't you doing this at SummerSlam? Which then begs the question, are we having our leg pulled on this match on Sunday night? And the reason I say that is, this would be a perfect opportunity to come up with some sort of messy finish, some sort of schmoz that creates an automatic rematch for these two, either at Battleground or maybe even SummerSlam. I would say if you're going to go, and this goes back to the Money in the Bank match, if you're going to go with Ambrose, then yeah, okay. He's going to hold on to that briefcase until SummerSlam, and then he stages the triple threat, and away you go. I think it's a little early for that, a little early, but I can see why they'd be tempted to do it. I just see this match as being one where they find a way to extend it to the next pay-per-view, and then the one after that. So a lot on the table here as far as that championship match goes. Everything I keep reading says that there's no plan for Roman Reigns to lose a title at any point soon. That's a harrowing thing for you internet haters out there. All you folks that love hating on Roman Reigns, sit back, put your feet up, crack a beer. It's going to be a minute before Mr. Reigns is done as WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Some other housekeeping issues. Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family and Randy Orton are due back soon to do what? Nobody knows. They're expected back maybe as soon as the next week. So if they come back, we'll see what kind of program they have those gentlemen involved with. And again, with the brand split coming up on July the 19th, that's going to create maybe some opportunities here for people. So we'll see how this is going to go down. Okay, while we have a moment and while we head down the home stretch of the show, let's go over some NFL news and notes. Much love and respect to my boy, number 16, the great Joe Montana, turned 60 last Saturday. People still love Joe Montana. One of my favorite things is to put up an old picture of Joe Montana on the JMRA Facebook page, and people love Joe. Still love Joe. We talked about Von Miller earlier. Von Miller is not in camp still. He's looking for, obviously, an upgraded deal financially. And as a part of that, he is very much on the downswing in terms of a relationship with John Elway. So Elway, along with Peyton Manning and Von Miller, and I believe Gary Kubiak too, they were in a photo together, and Miller posted on Instagram and cropped Elway out of it. Elway was on the end of one side of the picture, and he got cropped out by Miller, and reportedly he did that on purpose. So if that's the case, that's a very odd way of handling your business, but that's the way he wants to do it, and we'll just have to see whether or not he can grab a deal from the Broncos, and that's a big issue because, again, you don't want to put yourself in a spot where you pay somebody a lot of money and then you can't really depend on them on a consistent basis. I think that's something that maybe John Elway is struggling with. And also the fact that when you put together and pay these guys a boatload of money, it makes it tougher for you to pay other players once they come up for contract renewal. Teams are in mini camp right now around the NFL, so kind of a ho-hum, quiet before the storm type deal with the National Football League. And one of my favorite stories of the week, Buffalo Bills running back Carlos Williams reported to camp overweight because his fiance was overweight. So in other words, whenever his fiance ate, he often ate. And that eventually has led to this particular situation where Williams has reported to camp and has said he will find a way to get in shape. But man, it's kind of jarring to see some of this stuff sometimes. Blaming more or less your pregnant wife for your eating habits. Oh my God. Just too much. Anyhow, that'll do it for the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm. We will join you again, early to mid next week. We'll hop back in. Best of luck to the Golden State Warriors against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I am on Team Draymond Green after that debacle in Game 4 where LeBron stepped over Draymond Green. Like, who the hell steps over another guy outside of Allen Iverson, obviously, stepping over Tyronn Lue? So that'll just about do it. Until next time, folks, enjoy yourself some sports entertainment. And happy football, everybody. See ya. Walking on a dream.